Hello and welcome back to London by Guide. I'm Isabel, an award-winning London Blue Badge guide and city guide. Today's podcast episode is a taster of a walk I devised around Bank Junction in the City of London. I lead any number of walks through the city, and several have stops at Bank Junction. Yet I had long felt I was not doing the area the justice it deserved. Roman in origin, the City of London, aka the Square Mile, is the financial heart not just of the capital, but of the whole of the United Kingdom. Guide after guide will tell you of its financial clout, the size of its economy, the wealth it creates. Bank Junction, with its seven intersecting roads, is the city's central point and is surrounded by buildings of actual and historic significance, most notably the Bank of England, the Royal Exchange, and the Mansion House. Evidence of the Roman occupation has been found under these buildings. There have been riots here. The largest bomb crater in London during the Blitz was here. Scenes in films including Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason and Mary Poppins Returns were filmed here. It's a pretty varied chunk of history in one small area. The Museum of London has in its collection a piece of lead inscribed in Latin. In translation, it says, Titus Ignatius Tyrannus is hereby solemnly cursed, likewise Publius Caesarius Felix. It was found under where the National Westminster Bank now stands. The author of the curse remains anonymous, but I wonder what it was these two people did to upset him so much, and if the curse had any effect other than relieving his feelings when he wrote it. In 1780, the Bank of England was attacked by the anti-Catholic mob assembled by Lord George Gordon. Given that the bank's origins were to raise funds for William III to fight the Protestant cause, there's a certain amount of irony in this. Fortunately, guards from the Royal Exchange came to help. Inkwells were melted down to make into bullets to repel the mob. From then until 1973, an overnight military guard, a small body of troops known as the piquet, guarded the building. I always wonder when I read the story of the inkwells how it was that they had the moulds to make the bullets the right size and shape, just to hand. The Royal Exchange was founded by Thomas Gresham, and you'll find a statue of him adorning the rear of the building. You'll also see what is, in my opinion, the most wonderful weather vane in the whole of London. It's of a grasshopper, symbol of the Gresham family. Keep your eyes open and you'll find it in various other locations as well. There's a story that explains how this symbol was adopted. It's said that a Gresham ancestor was abandoned as a baby in a Norfolk field. He would have doubtless perished, but fortunately someone was following the sound of a grasshopper and came across the child. It's a sweetly romantic story and very unlikely to be true. It's far more likely to be a rebus, as grass was once pronounced Gresh. The 18th century Mansion House is the official residence of the Lord Mayor of the City of London, an office older and distinct from that of Mayor of London. Until it was built, the Lord Mayor had to provide his own accommodation. I say his, as to date, there have only been two women Lord Mayors. I love the exuberant confidence of the pediment, which shows a personified City of London trampling on envy. Statues adorn the National Westminster Bank, which was designed by Edwin Cooper and built in 1931-2 in a style known as Banker's Baroque. Not everyone is a fan of this building. It was considered old-fashioned, even when it was being put up. Most people preferring more understated style of the old Midland Bank next door, now the Ned, designed by Lutyens and built between 1924 and 1931. However, I do enjoy this building. Take your binoculars to get a closer look at the group of sculptures by Ernest Gillick at roof level on the corner. There's Britannia with Mercury on the left and Truth on the right, then two crouching figures representing higher and lower maths. Higher maths on the left holds a version of Durer's magic square, where almost any combination of the numbers adds up to 34, associated in astrology with Jupiter. At ground level, Chaz Dorman sculpted the statues of Courage, a woman with a sword who seems to have just killed a snake, Integrity, an old man with a beard holding a locked ledger, Security, who wears a Phrygian cap representing freedom, and Prosperity, who has wreaths and a cornucopia. On the apron in front of the Royal Exchange is a memorial by Aston Webb, he who remodelled the front of Buckingham Palace and designed the Victoria and Albert Museum. The memorial honours members of the armed forces who lost their lives in the First World War and were connected in some way to the City of London, and has two statues, an old soldier and a young soldier, by Alfred Drury, who also made the statues of Victoria and Albert that adorn the V&A. There's a lovely detail which you'll see if you look closely. There are little hooks on the memorial where the wreaths are hung on Remembrance Day. Each one is a motif of crossed rifles. The Duke of Wellington is shown on his horse Copenhagen. The statue was put in place in 1844, but later a new plinth was added to provide the newly built Bank Underground station with important ventilation. Renowned architectural historian Nicholas Pevsner was quite sniffy about this addition, stating that it ruins the statue's proportions. I admit my sensitivities are not quite so nice. A statue to the south on Cornhill is also positioned on a plinth hiding another ventilation shaft for the underground. It's of a great Victorian, James Henry Greathead, who died in 1896. Greathead invented the shield that was used for the deep tunnel boring that gave our underground network the nickname of the Tube. The statue shows Greathead studying plans, a coat over his arm. He looks relaxed and absorbed in his work. It has none of the stiffness we associate with Victorian statuary, and that's because it only dates from 1994, when a ventilation shaft was installed to meet new safety requirements following the King's Cross fire. The plinth is part of that shaft, and the statue was unveiled by the Lord Mayor riding in a cherry picker. In 1991, during building of the new link to the Docklands Light Railway, workers found part of one of Greathead's tunnelling shields used to make the Waterloo and City Line in 1898. This shield now forms part of a new passageway, and passengers pass through it when transferring between two lines. Bank Station is one of the network's busiest. In 2013, it was voted the least liked. It opened in 1884, linking several nearby stations constructed by different companies. Originally, the station was to be built in and named Lombard Street. Permission was granted to pull down Nicholas Hawksmoor's Church of St Mary Woolnoth, the only one he designed in the square mile, and to build the station on the site. Fortunately, after a public outcry, the plans were revised and the church was saved. Only a subsurface ticket hall and lift entrance were built in what had been the church crypt. The bodies were moved elsewhere, and the crypt was strengthened with the steel framework underpinning the church foundations. Bank Station has another claim to historical significance. It houses the first municipal toilets in Great Britain. They were opened in 1885, designed by George Jennings, who had exhibited a prototype in the Great Exhibition of 1851. Prince Albert awarded him the Society of Arts Medal and confided the surprising news that were he not Prince Consort, he would have studied plumbing. The day the toilets were opened, a poet, Josiah Feeble, whose other works are perhaps fortunately lost to us, went to Windsor Castle to read a specially commissioned ode to mark the occasion. Here are the opening lines. In front, the Royal Exchange and underground, down gleaming walls of porcelain flows the sluice that out of sight decants the kidney juice. Kidney juice of men only. Women's toilets were not opened until 1911. Originally, the cost to use them was one old penny, hence the expression, to spend a penny. Stay safe. Keep well.